Good morning and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels, a program heard each week here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea. I'm your host of this program where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we are beginning a new section of our study as we begin to look at the last days of public teaching. And today we are going to be in Luke chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 as we see Christ's authority being challenged. Let's go now to our text. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priest and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" But he answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So let's now consider the challenging of Jesus' authority in verses 1 through 8. So Jesus is now in Jerusalem. And here in the 20th chapter, Luke gives us a count of the Jewish leaders and the rulers once again challenging the authority of Jesus Christ. This challenge to the authority of Christ is brought forth by the events of chapter 19. Jesus had entered into Jerusalem triumphantly with a large number of his disciples, proclaiming him as their king that has come in the name of the Lord. The Messiah has come, and we notice that once he enters Jerusalem, he quickly makes his way to the temple. Jesus had gone into the temple and immediately condemned them for turning the house of prayer into a den of thieves. They were not changing their lives to conform to God's way, but rather foolishly attempting to change God to their own evil lust and desires. They were continuing daily in the pursuit of sin rather than holiness. There was no repentance or fruit of repentance, for they based their salvation on the fact that they were the Jews and went to the temple for what they called worship. Man today is going about living the exact same life in so many cases, continuing to live sinful and immoral lives while showing up at the door of the building to attempt to punch their ticket weekly. Those in the days of Luke could no more fool God than man can today. God saw the condition of their hearts, and God can see the condition of the hearts of men today. Jesus condemned them for their sinful action. Indeed, notice the cleansing of the temple from chapter 19, verses 45 through 48. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priest, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to. Jesus could see the hearts of the people and their actions, and they stood condemned. Luke sheds much light on the cleansing of the temple in chapter 20 by focusing on the teaching of Jesus as being the cleansing agent. Jesus was in the temple daily to cleanse men by his teaching. And this is exactly why they were seeking to destroy Jesus, as we just noted in chapter 19 in verse 47. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. That verse points out that because the teaching of Jesus is cleansing the temple, we see why the events of chapter 20 are now unfolding before us. They are going to oppose and they are going to challenge the teaching of Jesus and the authority of Christ. Jesus has stated that they are turning the house of God into a den of thieves, and that is not going to go unchallenged by the scribes and the Pharisees. Now notice verse 1. Now it happened on one of those days as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priest and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him. The scene is set for their efforts to trap our Lord Jesus. He is now in Jerusalem, and he is in the temple teaching and preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. The priest and the scribes gather together to go up against Jesus by challenging his teaching and his authority. In fact, they are quite confident of their ability to bring Jesus down to his knees as being inferior to their superiority. And we now see the first of their challenges that are put forth to the Lord. Notice verse 2. And spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" The Jewish leaders want to know by what authority Jesus is doing these things. They want to know who gave Jesus this authority. If Jesus were to respond that his authority is from God, they will label him a blasphemer. And if he says it is from anywhere else, they will say he has a demon. In their minds, they believe they have him whatever way he responds. But the response of Jesus here is nothing short of brilliant. He answers with a question of his own. In their blindness, they would not see that the answer to the question that Jesus gave them was the answer to the original question they had asked. Notice the question of Jesus in verse 3. But he answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Jesus puts forth the question, was the baptism of John from heaven or men? There is only two possibilities concerning John the Baptist. Either John the Baptist came as a messenger from God, or he did not. Consider the application of how one could respond to this question. If John came from God, then his message was true, and it must be heeded and obeyed. If he was not from God, then he must be ignored. So if they said John was from God, why then had they ignored his teaching? They were now finding themselves trapped rather than Jesus being trapped. We now see them begin to reason out this situation among themselves. Notice verses 5 and 6. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. Oh, what a tangled web they have weaved. They struggle to decide what to do in response to Jesus' question. We see the difficulty of their reaching an answer. They are rightly concerned that the people will stone them if they deny John was from God. And again, they are trapped by their disobedience to John's message if they say it was from God. Recall what the law of Moses said concerning those who lead people away from the Lord their God. They would be convicting themselves of a stoning offense. Notice Deuteronomy 13 in verse 10. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So now we see the cowardly and dishonest response of these cowardly and dishonest men. Verse 7. So they answered that they did not know where it was from. What an absolutely pitiful and dishonest response. They state that they did not know the answer. Why did they not do what they knew they should do? Why did they not respond to the teaching of John the Baptist? Why did they not respond to the teaching of Jesus that had been confirmed by signs, miracles, and wonders? We just do not know. What a pitiful excuse. Even a childish excuse at that. Jesus has put these so-called elite leaders on the spot, and this is the best answer they can give. The day of salvation is in front of them. They could respond now and find salvation. They could find the Lord standing ready to forgive. But their arrogant pride will not let them come to salvation. They refuse to humble their spirit and come to Christ and receive salvation. Instead, choosing their stubborn pride as their forefathers had done time and time again. this will lead us into a series of parables that Jesus will use to further teach concerning the kingdom of heaven. Behold, for you, today is the day of salvation. Where do you stand today, and what are you going to do with Jesus? I hope you make the right choice in coming to Him. I want to thank you for joining me. If the Lord wills, next week we will continue to examine those last days of public teaching. I hope you'll join me. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a great day.